witnessing for Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40 is the text for our consideration. The book of Acts is a detailed account of the apostles' work in fulfilling the Great Commission given in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." The word teach means to make disciples. To make disciple is to help someone to come to a living relationship with God, and then to help the person along life's pathway on the way to heaven. And so to make a disciple is not a one-day event. Right? Today we do this and suddenly a soul is saved and then it ends there. No, it is a lifelong endeavor. When God is gracious to save that soul, then it begins that work whereby we begin to help, to nurture. That was what Jesus did to all his disciples and the many whom he came in contact with during the 3.5 years of his public ministry. The gospel mandate to make disciples of all nations cannot be fulfilled unless we go. So that's the first word in that commission. But it is noteworthy that the verb go is a passive verb. The passive voice means the subject being acted on by someone or something else. There is a need to identify the agent of action, and this can be traced to the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Dear friends, we want us to know that it is the higher hand of God which leads and directs a believer to go and make disciples. And this is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer. Jesus promised the prominence and the leadership of the Holy Spirit on earth in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. You recall, while Jesus was on earth, he gave his last sermons and he said in John 16 to the disciples privately, verses 7 and 8, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the one who would come alongside you, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." An example of the work of the Holy Spirit in fulfilling the Great Commission is this account that we have just read on the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Right, you remember what we have read in verse 29? The Holy Spirit gave a command to Philip to go. And we want us to see, right, the principles for witnessing that is taught here in our text. It is firstly Spirit-led. And secondly, it is Christ-centered, or it is Bible-centered. And these are very important biblical principles if we are to be witnesses for Christ, that we are to take heed and learn well. So this first thought, that this work of witnessing for Christ is Spirit-led. The passive nature of the verb go in Matthew 28 verse 19 is significant, because soul winning is not self-led but Holy Spirit-led. There is that dependence upon the Holy Spirit for every move. It is the Holy Spirit that triggers and directs the proclamation of the gospel. And so, the Great Commission is not a blind charging. Going aimlessly. You know, as young soldiers, the first time you are asked to charge, right, you just charge. And, you know, you see where you're going. The Christian who is called to be a witness is sensitive to the leading, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and he obeys with immediate action, as did this man, Philip the evangelist, that we saw, or that we will see in Acts 26, or Acts 8, 26 to 40. And the mechanics of the Great Commission necessitates a human instrument. Right? If a soul is going to be saved, if we will not go, then nothing will happen. And that is something that we want us to understand and see. Right? You simply can't talk about soul winning and missions if you just sit still where you are and not do anything. But this journey of going, right, the Lord wants us to see and understand, is, well, not by your own strength, but it necessitates a human instrument. That's why Paul says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Now, we don't go by our own strength. God sends us. In the local church, we are sent. God initiates and inaugurates the local church as that instrument whereby the God's people are sent forth to do His work. And Paul said, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of great things." Do you see the excitement? Do you feel that excitement when you go out in the strength of the Holy Spirit? Well, if you have done that before, you would know what I mean. Right? It's an exciting task. And though you are tired, you know that God has given you this wonderful opportunity to be His instrument of righteousness, to impact men and women for eternity. That's what we are doing. Right? It's not a one-time action when a soul is saved. When a soul is saved, it is saved forevermore. And so the action that you take is very significant. Right? And it is, right, therefore, has to be a part of what God would want you to do. And John's gospel, you know, the gospel mandate is given 5 times in the Bible, in the gospels 4 times, 1 time in the book of Acts, which we saw in Acts 1:8. John's gospel emphasizes the spiritual aspect in the dependence of the Holy Spirit to do this work. Right? Jesus said in John 20, 21, and 22, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. It's very significant, this, what Jesus is doing, and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now you need to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to do this work. It's not your own work. You are just a human instrument for God. Right? Did not the Old Testament teach the same principle? "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Zechariah 4:6. And therefore, we want us to see, we want you to understand, right, that Jesus spoke these words to the disciples to teach them the valuable lesson that the whole Christian life, and especially the Christian commission, can be accomplished only in and through the Holy Spirit. And this must not be forgotten, because oftentimes we do so without prayer, without waiting upon the Lord, without seeking God. And the book of Acts is well portrayed, right, to be the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so we must not forget, right, that we are merely the human instrument, the unworthy instrument for God's use. And so Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so sent I you." The word "sent" there describes a completed action with a finished result. If you are sent by God, right, God is going to accomplish a work through you in your life for His glory. And God the Father has sent His Son in the past, and this action has an abiding result. The commission from the Father for Jesus is still binding today, and Christ in turn sent His disciples. And Christ sent you, right, you to continue to labor for Him. While Jesus was on earth, well, we have said this before when we were studying Matthew chapter 9, this work of soul winning, where Jesus set for us the example. What did He tell us? Well, Matthew described for us this work that Jesus did, that He went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every manner and every disease, every sickness and every disease among the people. Dear friends, this work is hard work. He covered the grounds. And also, this work that Jesus did was hard work. He was constrained by the love of God. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. And so we have to see and understand, you know, that indeed, this is where we are going. This is why we are doing this. We have to always check our motive and be sure that this is what we are going for, right, in fulfilling this great commission. It is hard work, constrained by the love of God. And then Jesus also said that it is Holy Spirit-led work. God has to send the laborers. And so he told his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So what we are saying here is that we need able and willing men and women who would serve unconditionally, sacrificially. As the Spirit would call, we are to pray. As you see the need, as you see the trauma of the people around, more hands are needful. Who will go? Philip was such a man, and he sets for us that example. Verse 26 of our text tells us, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, here you see how he was divinely led. Right, this description tells us that he didn't go on his own. The Spirit of God spoke to him. And, you know, we must be cultivating a sense of stillness to hear the voice of God speaking to us, so that we may understand, right, that indeed this is what he is asking us to do. Not by our own strength. And so what did Philip do? Philip says, Philip, what did the Spirit say to him? Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. Now where was he before that? You remember he was in Samaria, right? He was in Jerusalem and persecution came and he went all the way to Samaria and God caused many to be saved when the gospel was preached in Samaria. Remember? Except that one man, Simon the sorcerer, right? He was not right with God. Wouldn't repent. But you see how God moved, the Spirit of God moved, and many were saved. And just at that time, right, you see the Spirit of God now leading him and asking him to go down south. Right? So he has to bypass Jerusalem and go down all the way south to the place at Gaza, right, coming closer to Egypt. And the word south is interesting. Right? The word south means midday, noon. Right? And it's very interesting that he's asked, right, to go to a desert place to witness. If you are Philip, if you are following your own senses, you'll be reluctant to go. Why do I have to now go south? Shouldn't I move all the way forward from Jerusalem to Samaria, Judea to Samaria, to the uttermost part of the world? Where is the uttermost part of the world? Well, the Holy Spirit knows where the uttermost part of the world is. It is down south in Gaza. Because there was a man whom God has prepared, whom he will save. You see, this man is no mean man. He was from the land of Ethiopia, Africa, the continent of Africa. For the first time, right, we often think that the gospel, right,
after he goes to the half Jews and half Gentiles in Samaria, would go to the Europeans, right? In the conversion of the centurion. Remember that man who was saved, Cornelius? No. You see here in chapter 8, the gospel went south to the African continent through this man who is the finance minister of the land of Ethiopia. He was a man under charge from the queen of Ethiopia. And he was there in that desert place, traveling with his entourage, and the Lord led him, led Philip, through his spirit to go south so that he would meet this man there. And so this was what Philip did. In obedience to the prompting of God's Spirit. Now sometimes, you know, we don't want to obey what God would want us to do. We'd rather do our own things because it's inconvenient for us. But here you see how Philip was a consecrated vessel for God's use. So when the Lord says, go down south, you can imagine what it means. Well, he puts everything down, whatever that he was doing, and he would go down south. Oftentimes we are encumbered by many things. And it's not easy when the Spirit tells us, go down south, right, that you would be willing to just go down south. But this was what Philip did, right? And he rose and went. And who did he see? Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. Now, it's interesting that God has chosen to save a eunuch. In Judaism, a eunuch is an unblemished person. He's not allowed in public worship in Israel. Deuteronomy 23:1 tells us. And so, you see how God has graciously chosen this unlikely candidate as the first Gentile convert following the rejection of the Jews. And it's interesting that the land of Ethiopia is chosen and Africa is chosen, and many of the writings of the Greek philosophers considered Ethiopia as the end of the world. One writer called it the end of the setting declining sun. That is as far as the world is to them. And this is exactly what God is doing. Bringing the gospel to the end of the world. So it will begin this movement of the Spirit into the African continent by this act that Philip would do. And it's interesting for us to see how he went to Jerusalem. He was seeking God. And how he was bypassed by all the apostles in Jerusalem. How come Philip the deacon was chosen to be the man to share the word? How come not the others? Well, you see, this is all the work of God. It is God who controls the human agents to accomplish the mission of the church. It is Holy Spirit directed. And so we want us to see that from beginning to end, God is directing every aspect of the outreach. Verse 29 of our text says, Then the Philip said unto, or the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And you observe how David, or how Philip responded. He says, the text says, Philip ran hither to him. You see that immediate obedience of Philip to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He was willing and ready to be used as God's instrument for the salvation of souls. God has prepared this man. God has cultivated his soul. And fast forward to verse 39. Says after the whole process, he was baptized, and suddenly the Spirit of God caught away Philip. That's the word rapture. He was teleported or transported. God has another assignment for him. 30 kilometers away, near the Mediterranean Sea, and at this place called Ashdod. Right, or Azotus. Right, this is the new name, or the Old Testament name is the place Ashdod. All right, and God sent him away immediately. And it's interesting that the verse 39 ends when Philip disappeared. The eunuch saw him no more. And he was energized by God, by this new salvation that God has given to him. He went on his way rejoicing. This is what we want us to see. How the Spirit of God, when it saves a person, it brings joy to the heart. The burdens are lifted away. A true conversion. The burdens are taken away. The Lord gives a light heart to the person. There is joy. Romans 14:17, Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you receive Christ into your heart, joy comes with the forgiveness of sins. No more guilt conscience. The fountain of living water, the life of God flows in you. See, there's spiritual life. I remember when we speak about death, what does it tell us? It tells us about an ebbing away, no life. Right? But when God gives life, then there is a difference there. And this is the kind of life that is described here, right? When we become a Christian. Romans 5:10-11, Paul says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. So this is what is going on, right? The spiritual mechanics that is going on inside the heart of this Ethiopian eunuch when he was saved. God's joy came to him. And we want us to see that this man went off happy. He himself has received the atonement, and he goes off sharing the truth to others. If you have not received it, how do you share it with others? You have to first receive that life in yourself, right, then you go about sharing with others. And this was testified by one of the church fathers called Irenaeus. Irenaeus lived from 120 to 212 AD. And he commented, he says, that this man, the Ethiopian eunuch, was also sent into the regions of Ethiopia to preach what he had himself believed. This was a testimony from the church fathers, that indeed, you know, that salvation was true, real, and it bore fruit. Right? The gospel went to the African continent. And so, is it worth that effort for Philip to go down south, right, midday during that difficult time? Right? It was worth it. And now, what we want us to see is that this man, Philip, right, is someone who has been prepared by God. God has prepared him to consecrate himself to his service. And for us to do so, we must also take time to prepare our lives, to sanctify our hearts with the Word of God, that our hearts may be pure. Right? Then we will see God. Did not Jesus say that? Then you would listen, be able to hear the voice of God. The Spirit of God is able to lead you without hindrance. And so, for us to be a channel of blessing, the Lord wants us to consecrate ourselves, sanctify our hearts, spend time in the study of God's Word, so that your life will be transformed. I remember we said how the Bible was profitable for doctrine, show you the principles for living, for reproof, to show you what you have gone wrong, and for correction, teaches you how to do the right thing, and for instruction in righteousness, so that you do that which is profitable and will be a blessing. And so for Philip, God has to prepare him. For each one of us, if you want to be a channel of blessing, then we ought to prepare our lives. Yesterday we were having our youth meeting, and one of our brethren remarked to us, right, that indeed, someone said that in order to be a blessing, right, our lives must be a blessing to others. If it isn't, how would the person want to come? He would be hindered rather than wanting to come. Very true. And so you notice, and we want us to see, right, that this man, Philip, was led by the Spirit of God. He was a prayerful person. He was in tune to the life of God. It is not self-will, but any known sin in his life, he deals with it, and he repented of it. You notice that many times God cannot use us because we are not instruments fit for the Master's use. We are not consecrated. And so the Lord tells us, Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, I'm crucified on the cross, just as Christ was crucified. All my sins nailed to the cross. Nevertheless, I live. Though I'm nailed to the cross, it's a death sentence. And yet, I have life. Yet, not I, This life, he says, Christ liveth in me. It is not my own life. The old life is crucified. This is the new life that God has given to us. Life in the Spirit. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I believe God's word, and I live by it. Who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's a sense of gratitude. There's a sense of awe, being overwhelmed by what God has done for you, that you want to do this. Right? Just like the man, John Newton, you remember, who wrote The Amazing Grace? He was a slave trader. He did all the wrong things that, you know, you can name it, he did it. But God turned him around. How was he turned around? Well, God turned him around in a storm. When he was in a storm, the ship was going to sink, and he remembered what his mother taught him when he was young. Mother died very young. 6-7 years old, mother has died. But when he was a baby, from young, mother taught him the scriptures. And so the mother's God came into his mind, and he repented of his sins. And he understood. And mother's prayer, though mother has died, was fulfilled or was answered. So we want us to see that God has to prepare the vessel. Right? And God has prepared this vessel, and Philip was a man who was consecrated. So witnessing for Christ is firstly spirit-led, and it is also, our second thought, Christ-centered. Right? Christ-centered. And our text tells us, all right, that he was prompted by the Spirit to draw near. And what happened? Well, this man was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. He has been to Jerusalem, and he was given a copy of the scriptures. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the text, Isaiah 53, the text of the suffering servant. Is it coincidence that he is reading Isaiah 53? No. God has prepared the heart of this man. And God had sent Philip to be that instrument to open the hearts, the mind of this man, to know that this suffering servant is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that's why you see, God makes the preparation, and when he went, well, he did the work. He drew near and he heard him read. Verse 30 says, and Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the book of Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you are reading? You see, he posed a question to him. So God has prepared, and he was there, and he asked a right question. Verse 31, we want us to see here. And he said, how can I, that was the response of the eunuch, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now we want us to see and understand, right, that it is interesting that the man wanted to be guided. Sometimes, you know, you want to help someone, he may not want your help. And this man, the finance minister, right, traveling in a desert place, and Philip, a lone man coming from out of nowhere, you know, the chances of having what we say chemistry, having that, you know, that bonding to be able to talk, it's rare, you see. But here the word guide is interesting because it is used to mark the special work of the Holy Spirit to open our understanding to the truth. John 16:13, Jesus says, "How be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you," that is the word there, "into all truth, for He shall speak, He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." So the Holy Spirit will guide and will lead you to show you the truth. Is that your understanding? It's my understanding. When I came to know the Lord, right, suddenly, right, it's like a light bulb. Right, suddenly, you know, from darkness, the light is lit. Ding, you understand. Right, you don't understand why, but you attribute it to the Spirit of God that is coming. So, the eunuch could not unlock the key to the meaning of this passage of prophetic scripture. He was reading the suffering servant, but he knew nothing of this person, Jesus Christ, right, who died recently, right, that all the prophecies in the Old Testament converged to this man, right, Jesus Christ. And so, here it is said to us, as he read Isaiah 53, he was opened to the truth. Why this chapter? And why this passage? And why that coincident when he was drawing near and he was reading that part of the scripture? Where was he reading? Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb dumb before his shearer. You know, when God wants to save a person, that grace, the grace of God is truly irresistible, isn't it? Really, you see how everything just falls in place. No hassle. So he asked Philip, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" So we want us to see that when we are making that word of evangelism, right, doing, talking to people, right, it has to be Christ-centered. We must know the scriptures. We must know the truth so that we are able to explain. And that's why we need to spend time in the study of God's Word. Take time, be patient, be willing, right, to study, to know the Word of God thoroughly so that we would be able to. That's what Philip did. Right? He was able to explain what Isaiah 53 means. And it's interesting, you know, earlier we said that the book of John emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit in the Great Commission. The book of Luke emphasizes on the dynamics of the Word. It is written. This word is very interesting. The Word of God that is written, stands written today. It is truth unchanging. truths that will convert souls, truths that will save. And so Jesus himself, when he was on earth, affirmed, right? Why did Philip say it is Jesus? Because when Jesus was upon earth, Jesus affirmed that he is that Christ. Luke 24:44 says, and he said unto them, remember Jesus was speaking to the two men on the road to Emmaus, and how these are the words that are spoken unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Basically, this is the Old Testament, right? The law, the first five books, the prophets, and the Psalms. The Old Testament scriptures, right? All things must be fulfilled. Concerning who? Me, Jesus says. Of him, you see. And what was Philip doing? Philip was simply witnessing to the Christ. So nothing, what we say, bombastic, you know. He was simply a channel, an instrument for God to just say that this person is Jesus Christ. No rocket science, but we said it's rocket science because Jesus encompasses all the wisdom of the universe. To know him, right, is the epitome of all wisdom. And so Jesus says, then he opened their understanding, or he opened their understanding. And this was what Philip was doing to the Ethiopian eunuch. He opened the understanding. And this is what we are to do. Right? When we have that encounter, we are to open the understanding. And we go to the scriptures, we go to the Bible. Thus it is written that it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of this. Philip was a witness of the truth. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So this is the power from on high. This is the same Spirit that is sending us forth to do the work. And the Lord wants us to know, right, that this work is centered upon the Word of God. And so we must know our Bible. We must know it very well, right, in order that we may be able to answer a question. Right? Whatever anger that the person may be coming from, right, he may have certain difficulties with certain aspect of his life. You are able to minister because you know what God's Word says, how to cure that problem. And so we are going to close with this seven helpful guidelines, right, for all believers who seek to share their faith. This was what Philip did. Be sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit. Be prepared to share your faith across culture. Who was this man? Ethiopian. Witnessing is most effective to people whose hearts have already been prepared by God. You see, we have to realize that it's not our work. It's God's work. God has to prepare the hearts. Start with questions. Right? This was what he did. Do you understand? Understandest thou this passage? And the basis of witnessing should be the word of Scripture, the words of Scripture. And the focus of witnessing needs to be the person of Christ. And then you invite a response. So the Lord wants us to know, right, how we are to be a witness for Him. And the Lord has shown us, right, when He gave us the commission, that it has to be Spirit-led and it has to be Word-centered, Christ-centered. So, Philip shared the Word with him, show him the Christ, and also help him to see the need to be baptized as a witness, right, that he is consecrated to God. And it's interesting for this eunuch, you know, he has no offspring. But when he come to spiritual life, right, he will have many spiritual offspring. God is going to bless him. God will bless you too, if you are willing to serve Him. Let us pray. Father, we want to pray and ask that Thou would bless our hearts as we see how Philip shared the gospel as a witness for Thee. Lord, may Thou be gracious to teach us that we may know, we may be equipped, we may be a fit instrument to bring men and women to Christ. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.